Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Good afternoon and welcome again to another episode of Epistle Life. We thank God for the mercies that the Lord has granted us through last year, through this year, looking at the book of 1 Timothy, as God has led our daddy, Pastor Mike Egochukwu and Pastor Lillian Egochukwu. We trust God that God will show us mercy again today in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace, the mercy that we have enjoyed of you in journeying through your word. Lord, we pray again that today we would find mercy. Mercy for illumination, mercy for understanding, mercy for conversion in the name of the Lord Jesus. That grace would shine upon every one of our hearts in the name of Jesus. I pray particularly, Lord Jesus, that you give me utterance, grace, spirit, life to give to your people. I come under the grace of our daddy, a messenger given to this platform to help me, Lord Jesus. I align my heart. I bring my heart under Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me. Show me mercy to serve you as I serve your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. As it is our usual manner, we just read a whole chunk of scripture. It's a good practice to read scriptures. And I want to encourage us, even in this season of praying and fasting, much more, to have time. Just read portions, large chunks of scriptures. Read. Read. If God breathes understanding and makes you to stay on a place, fine and good. But if not, just read. Delight yourself in the word of God. Read. You can read old chapters. You can read old books. You can read several books as God gives you grace. Just read. Just read. I will say, he said later in Timothy, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. So reading should not tire us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So from verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, he said, this is a true saying, that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of futile lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let these deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their own children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well but chased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things are right unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Say amen. By the grace of God, our daddy, having labored tirelessly over the book of 1 Timothy, like we said earlier, is finding grace to stay a little here before proceeding to the next chapter. And one of the things that we have established, like we said last week, that even though the chapter Timothy is called in Timothy and Titus is called the chapter of the bishops or leaders, is more attuned to the leadership in the church, it is actually holding sacred secrets for the church as a whole. Amen. That the thoughts of God communicated through Paul to Timothy is a burden that is not just to Timothy as the bishop of the church in Ephesus, but as an example to everyone flock that is pastoring, a pattern. Because like we said last week, God always seeks to imprint a pattern on a choice vessel whom he will then use as a template of salvation to every other person. He said, albeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should after all believe unto life everlasting. Now, this is Paul talking about it, but Paul himself was not the first pattern. Jesus was the chief pattern. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, say that we should, therefore, saying we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, for considering who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied in you. So there's something for us to consider. It's God's pattern. It's God's template. God raises an ensign. God raises an example in a man and then uses it as a template for every other one. So Paul can say categorically, book of Ephesians chapter 5, he said, follow me as I follow. Is Ephesians chapter 5 or chapter 4? Follow me. Therefore, little children, follow me as I follow Christ. So what I'm saying is this, that the template of the scriptures, the template of the spirit, is that God instructs a man. And through that template, through that instruction, or models a life in a man. So when people say, you are just following man, you are just following man. The truth is this. When God shows Christ in a man, and then we are supposed to pattern ourselves after the manner of revelation that God has shown in a man. That's God's pattern throughout all the ages. Now, if you don't want to follow a man, you will not see God. You will never see God. He said, if you do not love the man which you see, how can you claim to love God who you do not see? So, even though God is invisible, God will not print his life upon every one of us independently. No. God raises a man. And blessed are you, where in a generation, God has modeled a vessel. Blessed are you if you're able to see what God has modeled in a man. Because it's not every generation, or it's not every people in a generation that is able to discern what God has wrought in a man. Even in the days of Paul, there were several people who were preaching. There were several apostles. Paul said to the Corinthian church that, am I not an apostle? So there were people who were apostles, but who were not the package, who were not the fullness, or who were not the template, rather, that God desired to show himself through. They were preaching the message, but their life is not a template. They were preaching the message. They were preaching this message at varying strength, at different strength levels, but they were not the template. Philippians 3 says, brethren, be followers together of. Now, this is such audacity in the spirit. He said, brethren, be followers of together of me. Of me. Of me. He didn't say, look at all the apostles that have gone and copy any one of them. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us. So anyone who is not patterning according to this template that is revealed in me, sorry to say, is in error. Now, that is such audacity that it will take mercy for you not to gainsay it. It will take mercy, a lot of mercy, not to challenge it. You are taking too much upon yourself. They said to Moses, are you the only one that hears from God? We also hear from God until God interposed and said, What? All of you come here. If there's any prophet amongst you, I appear to him in a vision, or I will speak to him in a dream, but not as this my servant Moses, who is faithful in all my house. So you see that God, for God to raise a template in a man, it's not a small thing. But when he thus raises, God defends that man with all that he has got. Because the ability for men to see him is restricted in that pattern. Is restricted in that pattern. Now, does that automatically discredit every other person? No, but the level of accuracy that is archived in a man cannot be compared to lesser versions, just like software versions, where there has been upgrade. I think iPhone, I don't know the version they have. No, the version of this, Yes, iOS 26. Now, just imagine someone using iOS 26 and someone using iOS 15. The version. A lot of viruses will attack that device. A lot of things, the performance will be subpar because it doesn't have the most recent upgrade. Now, if you say you are complaining about it, one of the things is, what's the version of your software? Oh, upgrade to the latest model. Why? To get the unhindered, unfiltered package that we are delivering, we have packaged it in our most recent upgrade, and then we are giving it to a generation. So, what I'm saying is this, that God raises a shepherd, patterns his life, takes time to walk upon him, and raises him as a template to pattern lives after. But one of the fight of Satan is to ensure that we don't see that template. We don't receive it. We just say that it is just your own. You know, it's possible you just hear Mommy Ellen or hear Daddy Guju or Mommy Ellen and say, that is Mommy's instruction. Then you are not a child indeed. Because if it is Mommy's instruction, it is by interpretation your own instruction also. If you will grow into life, if it is Daddy's instruction, then it is your own instruction. Because if they are truly a template of life
that God is raising for you, you will be wise to drink into their instructions. You will be wise to drink into their commandments. You know, I had the privilege of talking, of course, Mommy has said it several times, concerning some of the daughters in the ministry who she affirms are her daughters. How they drank into her instructions, hook, line, and sinker. They drank into it so much that they have become splitting resemblance of what Mommy is. And somewhere, it gladdens Mommy's heart. And not only Mommy's heart, but it gladdens Jesus' heart. That a person can see a model of Jesus so much and then drink into it so clearly. You know, there's something Satan is doing over this generation. He wants you to be independent. No, don't be a copy. Be original. Don't be an echo. Be your own voice. Who dealt with us such badly? Who dealt with us so badly that everybody wants to be unique in their own sense? Now, that's Satan. I don't want to be unique. I want to be what Christ is, what Christ has modeled in those who have gone ahead. And I want to retain that originality that is in Christ. It's called a simplicity. Hallelujah. So as I was saying that to say that the commandments to Timothy as the bishop of the church of Ephesus was not just to him. It was Christ modeling a pattern, laying a standard, or showcasing the behavior. So when he said that these things are right unto you, open to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest. That thou is not just himself. He's himself, and by implication, everyone that hears him. Because he said, take it to thyself and to the doctrine. He said, in so doing, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So that commandment is not just for the saving of himself, but for the saving of everyone that is tied. I think that leadership bears a great burden. Because the implication of one commandment or one disobedience, it was David that disobeyed. It was the whole of Israel that they were punishing. When he counted the number of children of Israel. You see, so there are commandments that leadership holds. There are commandments that patterns that leadership are subjected to, not just for themselves, but for the sake of the entire house. For the sake of the entire house. And it's a grave responsibility. Jesus said in that John chapter 17, he said that, for your sakes, I sanctify myself by the truth, that you may also be sanctified by the truth. So he didn't need it, but there were dealings and leadings that was subject. Sometimes I look at some of the travails that our parents go through. It may not just be for themselves. It may be the conditioning of God for our salvation. But they subject a man to, and they expect that a man is able to bear it for the salvation. And if let's we think that it's only them. Paul said it. He said, I bear in my body the sufferings of Christ. I may fulfill that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Which is the church. So we see that it's not just something that is. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings. Colossians 1:24. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. I said, behind. He said, behind. So, thank God, someone said, Jesus died, has done everything. Thank God for Jesus. But Paul wasn't lying. There are things. Yes, I know that Jesus fulfilled everything. Amen. He said, when he said, died on the cross, he said, it's finished, and it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. If you are suffering, it's because you didn't know your redemption of Christ in Christ. Grow up a little. I said to you, just grow up a little. You know that there are afflictions that are remaining. So Christ died his own, Christ suffered and left us a pattern. He didn't do the part of the suffering that you should suffer for yourself. No. He suffered and left us an example. That's why the Bible says, if you suffer with him, you would also glory. I love that. If you suffer with him, you would also what? Glory with him. For hereunto are we called, that because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should what? Follow. 1 Peter 2:21. That we should also follow in his steps. So, thank God for that part of the sufferings of Christ that was fulfilled by Christ, but he did, it was not a replacement theory. He actually did it, went through it, and was glorified and left you an example that you should also be glorified. So Paul said that he also took part of the remaining, the part that is left of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, Paul saying that he's taking it in his flesh doesn't mean that they don't also have the one that they will also take. Amen. Everyone who has a share. But he's taking something so that you will see an example. So that you can also see a living pattern. Sometimes you see in our parents, living pattern of the sufferings of Christ that a man is bearing in his flesh. And then how they bear it gracefully in faith and they bear it unto glory. Not denying faith. Not changing course. Not wavering, not accusing God. And you see, we see such explicit revelations of how God is born by a man. How the contradictions, they talked about contradictions that Christ faced. He said that he endured the cross, he despised the shame. Consider him. Who endured such contradiction of sinners against his face, lest ye be wearied in your mind. He said, for you have not endured unto blood in striving against sin. So you see that this striving against sin is that there are contradictions that are born in our flesh just because you are keeping the life. He said, anybody that will live a godly life will suffer persecution, will suffer contradiction, will suffer afflictions. Hallelujah. Say amen. So I said, we see our parents or chief persons who through God is patterning their lives as a template. We see how God is dealing with them, how God is leading them. And that's why we should pray for our leaders. Not just national leaders now, as is encouraged in that 1 Timothy 2, but also spiritual leaders. Amen. We should pray. There are a lot that they are bearing for us. And the wisdom of Satan, he smites the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. So he knows that if he succeeds with one shepherd, there are many sheep that is at stake. Many sheep that is at stake. The wisdom in the church in the wilderness, one of the things that the men of Israel told Israel is this, that he told David, for example, don't go to war, lest the light of Israel be put out. Now, that is understanding. There were seasons that God wanted David to go to war. But the men were wise enough to know that at particular seasons, we want to exempt you. Why? Because we don't want to expose you unduly. Because one of you cannot be compared to 10,000 of us. One of you cannot be compared to what? 10,000 of us. And that's a wisdom that must be inside every follower, that we must use to honor, revere those whom God has raised as templates for us. If a light is put out, for example, I see how our parents pray for Baba Adeboye. Even though he's not a denominational thing. They know that this gift is a gift to the body of Christ, in Nigeria particularly. If that kind of a man is taken out of the scene, the whole body of Christ in Nigeria can be put in so much disarray. Disarray. So it's a gift. We spend all our lives, God protect him, God keep him, God guide him. He must stay. He must stay and stay till God has sufficiently raised another. That's why we don't accuse and attack fathers. No. No, they are gifts. They are, if you know what this daddy, this highly revered father is bearing for the body of Christ, then we see people who God will have mercy upon us, our generation. We aspire a lot. We aspire a lot. And it's not wrong. Bible says, he that desires the office of a bishop desires what? But let it be the work that you are aspiring for, not the privileges. He said, he that desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. If it is not the work that is driving your aspiration, if it's the privilege, if it's the gain, if it's the fame, you are setting yourself to destruction. But if you see the labors such a one is undertaking and then you desire it to fulfill it for the body's sake, he says it's a good aspiration. But God will give us sight. For example, to see the labor that our parents are going through. Because I can bet you, if you see it, you will not desire it. If you see the labor that they are going through, it is not something that an ordinary man will desire. Because it will take your life. It will take from you. It will reduce you to nothing. It will make you despised. But it takes grace for a man first to see that work that, for example, a bishop, an overseer is doing. And then look at it, and then desire the Lord. I desire. Now, those that desire such kind of work, they don't desire to replace the bishop. They desire to bear it together with him. The desire to hold together with him. He said that a servant can be as his master. A servant is not greater than his master. But a servant can be as his master. That's what Jesus teaching. So, in the spirit of service, nobody aspires to be greater. Nobody aspires to go there and want to do it better. No, you have not seen the spirit of the work. You have not seen the spirit of the work. If your aspiration is to get there and do it better, I bet you have not seen the work. If you see the work, it will suffice you to be able to do it as truly. If it is a true model you are seeing, it will suffice you to do it, to find grace, to do it as excellently well, or as sufficiently as that model is doing it. Then if God lays additional demand, you will need to trust God for grace for more. So there is a lot of correction of our sight that Jesus needs to walk by grace. There's a lot of correction of our sight concerning work of the ministry, concerning service, concerning holding things in truth that the Lord must do. But God will not be able to do it without mysteries. He said that tarry long that thou mayest know how to behave yourself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. We're saying that this church of the living God is a living entity, is divisions of mysteries. Hallelujah. Growth, maturity in God is tied to understandings. Amen. Prosperity in life. In fact, the actual attainment of eternal life is tied to a knowledge. He said that this is eternal life, and this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you know that the essence of all the life that God is giving is tied to knowledge, understanding, and then the patterning of a life after that understanding. So also the church, amen, the church is a ground of mysteries. Is a ground of mysteries. That Colossians chapter 2, verses 2, where we say, is that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God the Father out of Christ. Amen. Now, what the old meal of the church are actually the mysteries of persons. The whole meal of the church is actually what? The meal, the mystery of persons. Mystery of persons. Mystery of persons. If you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, then if that is eternal life, then knowing them, knowing the Godhead, I love that Colossians chapter verse 3, it said, in whom are hid all the treasures of knowledge. In another place in chapter 1, it said, in whom is hid, for it pleased God that in him the Godhead should dwell bodily. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. For it pleased him that in him should all fullness dwell. Then in another place, he said that it pleased God that the Godhead dwells bodily in him. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, God packaged the secrets, Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily. So God packaged all his secrets, all of the knowledge of himself in mysteries. Amen. And I said, that is the meal of the church. In Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. He talked about understanding the mystery of Christ. You see my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see that from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace which God gave to me, to you word, okay? How that by revelation he made unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So, Christ is a mystery. God is a mystery. The book of Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, thereabout, is that when, in the days of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Hallelujah. Say amen. Now, we should finish, or we journey through mysteries. Our growth in God, our growth in the faith is calibrated by journeying through the revelation of the persons of God, hidden in mysteries. Our journey in the faith is calibrated through our journey in the revelation of the persons of God, hidden in mysteries, hidden in secrets, hidden in secrets. So when we talk about faith, it's actually unveiling of secrets. Our daddy said in the last teaching that the mystery of godliness is actually the secret wherewith God wants to make man divine. That secret. Now, that secret are hidden in persons of the Godhead. Unless their persons are unveiled, unearthed, we will not see it, and then we will not be able to model our life according to the truth that should make us conform to the persons of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it was saying that, testimony of God, said about, albeit, I did not speak wisdom, my speech and preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now said verse 6, albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or them that are mature. We speak wisdom. This wisdom is actually the dissolving of mystery. Because if something is mysterious, or something is, the Greek word is mysterion, or something that is kept hidden, something that is locked away, you need wisdom to decode or resolve a riddle or a riddle. Riddles, we have riddles of life, riddles of persons in the epistles. That we need the wisdom channeled by the Spirit of God to dissolve, to be able to see. Is it how do you speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, or even the mystery. If we use the same word, hidden wisdom is a mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. So I'm saying this because of somewhere, and I'll try to balance it a little bit. Somewhere, a chunk of us believers, I say a chunk of us, inclusive of myself, we are lazy. Lazy. When I say lazy, it is an infirmity that Satan worked in our mind, that we feel that faith should be simple. That faith should be simple. But God deliberately hid things so that we can find them out and then do them and possess them. So a man must be willing to journey through hidden things. And what did God hide? God hid himself. God hid himself. God hid himself in secrets. I think it's Isaiah that said that he hides himself in darkness. Amen. Now, God chose to be hidden. God chose to be hidden. God chose to be hidden so that men can search him out. And search him out not by the strength of man, but by the grace of his Spirit. To dissolve. So, Paul said, God gave him revelation of the mystery as he wrote afore in a few words, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, that is said, great godliness, or the mystery of godliness, is actually the plan for which God wants to bring man to a divine life. In that mystery, there are mysteries of their persons. One of such mysteries is actually the mystery of Christ. And everybody who is reading should understand. But in that mystery of Christ, because every one of their person is great, there are also mysteries in their mysteries. Can I say that again? There are mysteries in their mysteries. Now, it's not an attempt to be difficult. For example, you see that Ephesians, can we just read verse 5 and 6? 5 and 6. Whereby you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Uh-huh. which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise. Now, this is a mystery under the mystery of Christ, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and partakers of the same body. That the inclusion of the Gentiles in the inheritance of light is a mystery that was not made known until Christ started being divided. Until Paul came, the inclusion of the Gentiles as being fellow heirs or joint heirs of the promise of life was not a thing revealed. It was a secret that God hid. It took the unveiling of the gospel of Christ to see that Gentiles have right to the same promise. Otherwise, the Jews alone, amen, the Jews alone would have said the promise of faith, which was the faith of Abraham, was exclusively that of the Jews. Paul said it in Romans chapter 9, that we know that to, can we say Romans chapter 9? So, verse 3. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, by kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promise. So there is, after the flesh, there is something that it naturally pertains to. There are people that it is their birthright. It was their exclusive preserve from Abraham. But from the beginning, God had an ordination that at one junction, Gentiles will be grafted in. So Paul said that they being ignorant, chapter 10, said they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, even though they forgot that Christ became the end of the law for righteousness to them that believed. Hallelujah. Because immediately Christ came, he opened a doorway for Gentiles to be. Now, I said that there are mysteries under the mystery of persons. But there are mysteries also that doesn't have anything to do with their person. Because in the name of being mysterious, we cannot begin to teach mysteries that doesn't have anything to do with their person. Anything that doesn't have to do with their person, that doesn't further the revelation of Christ. Amen. For example, you hear many teachings, the mystery of the firstborn son, the mystery of this, the mystery of that. Thank God for all of those mysteries and those secrets. In a bid to sound high, I can begin to coin out mysteries that do not align or that do not sum up to the mystery of the persons, or that are not mysteries under secrets necessary for attaining the secret of the persons of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Now, as much as the secrets of God, the secret of God, the life code of God is hidden in mysteries and then are given to us to study. We must know what these things entail. Last week we were saying that the church is said to be the ground and the pillar of truth. The ground being the doctrine of Christ or being the mystery of Christ, which is the foundation that Paul said he has laid and that no other person can lay. Amen. And the pillar, which is actually supposed to be the revelation or the doctrine of everlasting life, or the revelation of the divine life. We said the unveiling of Christ is the revelation of the godly man or the spiritual man. And the revelation of everlasting life is the revelation or the unveiling of the divine man or of the Son of God. Amen. Now, the truth of God, which is hidden in Christ, is no small mystery. Hallelujah. Sometimes when people hear us divide like this and say, I've heard people say that when we say Christ is not enough, think that, what do you make of Christ? We are not saying Jesus is not enough. And I love the way, I think it was Pastor Mike Ogunwoye that said it. I also heard it from Pastor Tope Falai. And it really sounded beautiful to me. Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, it was very by implication to Judas Iscariot. But he's saying, one of you is a devil. He didn't say, one of you is the devil. So, there is the devil. But somebody who has had his nature, who has drunk of his nature to a measure, was called a devil. A devil. Meaning also that, even though there is the Christ, there are Christ or Christ measures of life that a person can become. And then by drinking into that measure, you can say that you are Christ's. Christ by out, by learning, by conversation, by modeling. They've modeled a portion of the learning of Christ into him, that he became a Christ, just as somebody can become a devil on the negative side. So when we're talking about the mystery of Christ, it's not saying that we are thinking or saying that Christ is not the end of the revelation of God. It's not, we are not saying that Jesus is not sufficient or Jesus is not adequate. We're just saying that there is greater workings in God. But that Christ measure is not an insignificant measure at all. It's a great work. It's a great work. Christ is a great work. For Christ to be wrought in a man is victory. For man to be changed, converted from corruption to corruptible is a great victory. Paul saying in Galatians 4:19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I love the way Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 or 24, reading through to 27, says it. He said, verse 24, he said, I now rejoice, yes, where we read earlier, I said, I rejoice in my suffering for you to fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me. So how they dispense God, they give a man to give you. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now what made manifest to the saints, which is what to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Verse 28. One will preach, warning every man and teaching every man that in all wisdom, you see, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So where also I also live on striving according to his working, which worketh what? Might in me, mightily. So you see, the labor of Paul, amen, hallelujah, the labor of Paul was not to physically get the people to prosper materially, primarily. No, that was not the focus of God. Is to deliver this mystery or these secrets of God, how they dispense God to men. And he laid it in wisdom. Laid it in wisdom. He said that God has given him wisdom as a wise master builder. That is, he had skill of words to lay God or to dispense God to a man. Skill of words to give God by revelation to men. To give God by revelation to men, by utterance to men. God gave him wisdom as a wise master builder to lay Christ. For example, Paul had skill to lay Christ, and he laid it well. He laid it well. Now, we must trust our ministers whom God has given skill and wisdom of dispensing God. Dispensing God. Sometimes you see a minister who is laboring fervently to dispense God. 6 months is teaching Christ. 1 year is teaching Christ. They say, he should care about our natural too. He should care about our natural too. You see, the truth of this is this, that the hope that God has given to us, and I want to say this as a way of comfort to every one of us that might be going through one challenge or the other. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we have all men what? Most miserable. Meaning that the hope, that the word that is procuring the hope of the world to come does not neglect our life in this life. Also give us hope. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men miserable. Say this life. Now, that's Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, exercise yourself rather to godliness. He said, bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having a promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Of course, we know we have interpreted it of the life that now is, that's Christ, and then the life which is come, which is everlasting life. But also of the life that is, which is the present, and then also which is come. Now, when a man is exercising himself unto the world to come, the same word is settling the present. It does not leave your present uncatered for. I mean, I just want to give comfort to many people who feel that God is leading as though he is not mindful. Maybe somebody is there, years have passed, and it seems as if there is nothing materializing in the natural, maybe in an aspect of your life. And then there is a lingering concern. God, are you not seeing? Now, the truth is this. God can apprehend his ministers, and all they will mind is how you become Christ in your soul. How you become a divine in your soul. But the truth is that labor that seems to be working something beyond this life is also as a wisdom by which it arranges the natural. It arranges the natural without putting attention on it. You see, in this place, I have seen God bless and prosper people in the natural in ways that are phenomenal without any emphasis while just pursuing divine things. And you now see that even though it is not something a person is pursuing with his soul, God is bringing it. It's like Esau and Jacob. When Isaac was asking Jacob, how did you get it so easily? He said, thy God brought it to me. Esau was pursuing it, but thy God brought it to me. I love that witness. You see, when we pursue divine things, the things that men of this world pursue, God will bring it to you. That's the covenant. That is Matthew chapter 6. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. It's a covenant. It's an oath of God. It will be added. Can you take your mind off it? It may seem to delay, but herein is an opportunity to exercise yourself all the more to take yourself off it. God will add it. Is it marriage? God will add it. Is it finances? God will add it. Is it children? God will add it. Is it anything that is relevant in the natural? Why? Because the hope of the world to come does not live the life that is present without hope. The Lord is committed. I see how God settles people who they are. I remember one of our pastors was saying, when the Lord finally blessed him with the car, I think I can say this, even though we say that is not the blessing. But it's a provision of God. It's a provision of grace. Somebody was saying, ah? Because they didn't expect that with the way your life is like NFA like this, you're just living irresponsibly. You say you are pursuing divine things. Now, then they are pursuing it with all of their strength, trying to also, and then God brought it to him. Even without seeking, he wasn't even anticipating it. Then somebody from outside who was offended because of how assiduously the pursuit of eternal things are, and accusing the work that they are not minding the natural. When he saw how gracefully the natural was provided, they were confounded. That, do you mean that you could get this so easily? Because if you hear that, what you go, you will have go and co before some of these things get you, because you are not minding them. But we should not be deceived. We should not be discouraged when it seems as if all that we are minding is spiritual things. All that we are minding is divine things. All that we are minding is God things. That hope, that exercise as a way of settling everything about your life. If we walk in godliness, everybody that you should meet in the course of your life, you will meet them. Everybody. Someone said, this is not the kind of church you should be attending. You should attend a church where you meet connections that are relevant to your destiny. The question is, what is your destiny? What's the picture of your destiny? If it's about being something in this life, everything that you should be, when you are walking in the Spirit, seeking the Son, everybody that you should meet, you will meet them. Just keep walking. Just keep journeying. In the hope of the world that is to come, therein lies the settlement of the life that is present. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, conforming to Christ, laboring or being obsessed with conformity to Christ or conformity to the Son of God is not a waste of our life. It's not a waste of our life. All I need is greater wisdom, greater understanding, greater judgment in the handling of that life. And I will see that if the world passes you by, you don't need the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If the world seems to be passing you by, let it pass you by. If the world seems to be passing you by, let it pass by. Sincerely, let it pass by. You don't need it. What you need to use out of it, the Lord will bring to you. Amen. 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 Satan set up distractions for people. Distractions to distract soul from being obsessed, from being consumed with the pursuit of conforming to the persons of Christ and God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. He said, without controversy. Amen. Let me just go back to the thought. So, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Now, whilst we can explain this thing in the sense of everlasting life also, these things to a good extent, we can see it in the doctrine of Christ. We can see all of these mysteries. That's the breakdown of the mystery of godliness in the revelation of the person of Christ. God being manifest in the flesh. God being manifest in the flesh. God being manifest in the flesh. John 1 said the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made by Him, and there was nothing that was made that was not made by Him. And he said in Him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Let's go back to jump to verse 8 and 9. Hallelujah. He said, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Now, verse 10, he said, though he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Jump to verse 14. Hallelujah. Amen. He was in the world. Yes, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is incarnation. Then we beheld his glory. This we is not everybody. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not everybody. Because he came unto his own received him not. He said, though the world was made by him, the world knew him not. But there is we that saw his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So, the incarnation, not everybody understood it. Let alone is Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The beginning of the Word being made flesh was not just the incarnation, but also is Christ. Because we can understand the Word, God being manifest in flesh in two senses. You can see it as in the incarnation, which is rightfully so, because it was made, hallelujah, like our daddy made mention the last time he taught, that Philippians chapter 2, Paul speaking that, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, thought it not robbery, thought it not a equality with God, a thing to be held unto, but what made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. So that was a mystery in itself. But much more that another mystery is now the word of Christ being converted to you flesh, being embodied. That flesh should capture the persons of the Godhead. That is another mystery, that God should touch flesh, because God cannot touch flesh without outside of the vehicle called Christ. Christ is the vehicle through which God touched flesh, or God came in, impregnated flesh, converted flesh, exalted flesh to become a Christ. Is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. Great mystery that God reducing himself to flesh is key to is to show you. Amen. God reducing himself to flesh is not an end in itself. Hallelujah. It's actually the beginning of a journey to show you that flesh can become God again. That flesh can become God again. So, though God was converted, the word, Bible says, and the word was made flesh. That was incarnation. Daddy taught it during Canada's convention. Daddy, Reverend Kyle, was still affirming it. That was incarnation. But the incarnation doesn't just end there. The beauty of the incarnation, that God was made flesh, but flesh was made God. Flesh undertook a journey to become God again. How? By receiving the word. By receiving the word. And herein lies the secret and the joy of our conversion. Not only that he came and bore our, I love what Hebrews says. He said, he was made like unto the seed of Abraham. He was made like unto the seed of Abraham. I think that should be chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, maybe between 10 and 14 thereabout. I can't place the right verse now. Yeah, he said, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, you could look at this in two lights. You can look at the seed of Abraham not seed of Adam. Seed of Abraham is Christ, according to Galatians. So, meaning that when, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So, for he took not on him the nature of angels, but the pattern he took was, he took on him the seed of Abraham. Meaning, he wore Christ. That was a condescension. Hallelujah. That was a condescension. But he embodied Christ before he came into God. Wherefore, in all things, he behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? Because his brethren has to also take on the seed of Abraham or become Christ's before they can become God. That's why I said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Jesus was not also made God straight. He was made, he took on him the seed, the nature of the seed of Abraham. He said, wherefore he behaved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sin. So if it was necessary for Jesus or the Word to be made Christ, when after he became flesh, he was not made God back straight away. He first wore Christ or took on him the nature of the seed of Abraham. Then God was witnessing that for flesh also to ascend back into God, flesh must first become Christ. We must first learn Christ, put on Christ, be made Christ in reconciling. Hallelujah. Say amen. In being reconciled to God, we must first be made Christ. Then a Christ is what tests after God. If Christ is what tests after God, is the seed of Abraham that will look for God. Because a promise was made to Abraham and to his seed, not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, as of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. So the promise to a Christ is that he will come or grow, ascend into God, or grow to. Now, why are we taking time to divide these things? It's not because we just want to argue over the word. Now, this is a secret. I want to go back to that Hebrews chapter 2. He said, for verily took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, I used to read seed of Adam. That's what I used to, I've read for many years. When the Lord opened my eyes, like, it's seed of Abraham, also. That is not Adam. He's not, he was not just talking about flesh and blood. He was talking about a person. He said, wherefore, in all things, he behoved of them to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be what? A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So he will not properly give us the things of God according to their orders and measure if he doesn't replicate this order of coming to God. In things pertaining to make reconciliation. So you see that sins will not be fully purged if we don't follow this order. When I talk about, let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just showing us by grace the essence of the mysteries. Mysteries. So when God did not give us mysteries for mystery's sake, because those are secrets for cleansing our sin. Those are the secrets for purifying. Those are the secrets for conformity to God. From verse 16, wherefore answer, know we no man after the flesh. He said, for we have once known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are passed away. And behold what? All things are become new. I love what our daddy said. And all things are of God. Now, new things now are different from all things. New things should become all things. New things. In Christ, you become new. But all things are different from new things. So beyond, all things are become new. Now, all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself. Now, so all things will first become new things before they become all things of God. They become all things of God. So, and all things are of God. When all things have become new, they will now make them of God. They will make them of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hebrews said that they have to wit that God was in Christ first, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing what? Unto them their sins. And had committed to us what? The word of reconciliation. Now then, we that are ambassadors for Christ, as though we beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be what? Reconciled to God. Let's see Galatians. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. He said that if we were reconciled by his death, how much more? Romans chapter 9, verse. Which verse is that? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Yes. If when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God by the death of the Son. You see that? Reconciliation, there is in faces. If when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God by the death of his Son. I love the word much more. Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, I'm just trying to point out that reconciliation is not a once and for all thing. And the progressive reconciliation is locked in the revelations of their person. If, for example, we don't see Christ, there's a reconciliation we are missing. There's a purging of sin that is omitting. We will not arrive at God. But even when we have learned Christ, there is that which we must learn afterwards. There's that we must learn, which is actually in the revelation of the Son of God. He said, much more. So thank God for, as I say, thank God for what has been done through the death of Jesus. But much more, we have to see what is being done by the life of Jesus, which is actually the core of the New Testament. That is called the present day ministry of Jesus, which is actually the giving of the testament, the revelation of his persons in God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. It may seem as if all you are seeing there is understanding, but these things are capable of changing your legs. They will change your legs. They will change your life. If you don't see well, you cannot walk well. If you don't see where you will become another thing, not the semblance of the fullness of Jesus. So, mysteries are not taught for mystery's sake or for a bit just to be mysterious. That's where sanctification is. That's where redemption is. That's where righteousness is. That's where godliness is. You can't be godlike if they don't show you mysteries. If they don't unearth the secret by the gospel, by the revelation of their person to you. They have to show us mercy. They have to show us mercy. They have to show us mercy. Our sins will remain with us. Our iniquities will remain with us. Our infirmities will remain with us unless they show us mercy to show us the secrets of their self, which though has been given, cannot be understood unless they show you mercy. It has been given in the person of Jesus Christ, who came and died. But we will not understand all of the import of that giving unless they show us mercy to understand in great details the secret of their life. So I'll end on this note. Not Colossians chapter 2. Our daddy is still coming to come and teach us, teach it. We are just laboring around it. All of this verse 16. Daddy has said he will sit and then teach it properly before going to chapter 4. So we are waiting. But let me just tie it up in this Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Let's read again verse 1 and 2. Say, for I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them that are Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hid all? You see, if Paul can be burdened that people who he has not seen in the flesh can be knit together, they are comforted, their hearts be knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Meaning that these things that we call word, treasure is treasure. Treasure. Maybe the way to say it is, if you put all the gold mine, the oil wells, the lithium mine, I think the thing now is a rare earth minerals. That's what the whole world is fighting over now. Now, put all the reserves in all the world, put all of them together. They still are not as valuable as the understanding locked up in the persons of the Godhead. Now, pause and think on that for a minute. Let it sink down. Just try to imagine it. All of the earth's wealth that the nations divide, just a fraction of it some people get, and then they'll measure their wealth in billions of dollars. Now, look at everything put together. Now compare it to the treasures locked up in the persons of Godhead. Of it, you see, we should die here. As we should just, when we understand, we will just resolve to die, either to labor to understand or die trying. Because men have not seen things a millionth as valuable as this, and then they set on the voyage of their life, wanting to discover it. I know how many people have set sail looking for lost treasure. Looking for things that they, perishable things. But here is an ocean of endless treasures. Not only of this world, but of the world to go. The secrets of God archived. The Lord will multiply our hunger. The Lord will multiply our thirst. Somewhere I feel that maybe we don't value truth enough yet. Maybe because we don't yet fully see truth for the treasure that it is. It's not just something to pass time here. It is the core and only devotion of the soul of man. It's, if we measure it in terms of trying to escape Satan, it is still short. Are you understanding? Because after we have escaped Satan, some people will still feel a sense of loss in that they did not attain so much, or they did not gather as much of the resource of God that they should have attained in the day of their flesh. So while it is useful and profitable in escaping Satan, in escaping hell, in escaping lake, but the real treasure of the truth of is in the person they are making you into. Not just in the person that you will by it escape. So you can race in the world because, of course, you won't be saved from sin and iniquity. And beautiful, all of us should hate sin and iniquity. But the love of wanting to be like the person of God should exceed the fear of being or the probability of second death. Now, second death is terrible. Don't get me wrong. Are you understanding me? But the pain of falling short of the full measure of the stature of the person that God is revealing should be more dear in our hearts than second death. If God shows us mercy. Now, I'm not saying it has become something crystal in my heart yet, but somewhere I'm praying that this thing will dawn on me so much that it will so much consume, it will so much consume our heart that it become a labor, something we live for every day, every time, as we sojourn. Not just the key to escape second death, but the true high calling that is in Christ Jesus, being all that God has ordained that a man should look like. That's joy, that's glory, that's beauty, that's wealth, that's riches, that is breakthrough, that is salvation, that is redemption. I'm praying that God will show us so much mercy in the days of our flesh that we will embody all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even if it sounds strange to you, just ask God for mercy. See, if you don't understand all that I've said, because I know that for some people, depending on you, it may sound too much. Just ask God for mercy. I bet you, you can't have too much of it. You can't have too much. Just ask God for mercy. Just ask God for mercy. Can we just pray just in a little while that the Lord will have mercy upon us? The Lord will have mercy. Mercy upon us. Mercy, mercy, mercy to walk. Mercy to live up to this holy call. Mercy to fulfill that divine mandate, that holy mandate, that eternal mandate that is in the heart of God for all of you, us, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can we pray? Can we pray? Oh, you tongues may not even suffice. Can you just ask for mercy? Can you just ask for mercy from one depth of your heart? Can you just ask that the Lord will show you mercy? The Lord will show you mercy. The Lord will show you mercy. The Lord will show you and I mercy. Mercy to fulfill this holy call. To fulfill this holy call. To fill it to the full. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord will show us so great mercy. So great mercy. So great mercy. We will not fall short of it. We will not fall short of this holy call in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for grace for every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus. That this year we will have the mercy of the Lord. We will have the mercy of the Lord. We will have the mercy of the Lord. And is there anybody who may be infirm, who may be sick? Lord Jesus, I pray that the Lord Jesus will have mercy upon you. The Lord Jesus will have mercy upon you. As the Lord Jesus had mercy upon Paul, that he would not sorrow upon sorrow. He had mercy upon Epaphroditus. The Lord Jesus will have mercy. By the mercy of the Lord, you are raised from that bed in the name of the Lord Jesus. That part is restored. That pain is taken away in the name of the Lord Jesus. By the interjection of the mercy of the Lord, I say strength is meted out to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise up, be strong, be hail, be healthy. Receive strength to pursue God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise, our God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Till we see next time on A Peaceful Life, remain blessed. Separated for the virgins.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you. It's the Holy, it's the Holy.